I think verse 22 of our scripture for this morning is perhaps the most misunderstood verse in the New Testament. It says, "Wives, be subject to your husbands as to the Lord." And when you take it out of context like that and set it aside by itself, where it stands alone, it does seem somehow to say that the man is kind of king of the castle and the woman is to be subject to him. But when you put the verse back in context, it doesn't say that at all. In verse 21, which is the introduction, it says, "Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ." And that says plainly enough that in the marriage relationship, the man and the woman are to be subject to each other. And then St. Paul begins to spell it out, to be more specific, to particularize it. He says, "Wives, be subject to your husbands as to the Lord." Now you would expect him next to say, "Husbands, be subject to your wives as to the Lord." But he doesn't say that. Husbands don't get off that easily. No, he goes beyond that, and instead he says, "Husbands, agape your wives, as Christ agape the church and gave himself up for her." Now that means that the man is the leader in the family, but he is the leader in agape love. Did you realize that? The husband is to be the love leader in the family. A love leader, that is agape love. You don't believe it? Listen to what our scripture for this morning says. It says, "Husbands should love their wives as their own bodies." It says, "He who loves his wife loves himself." And then it says, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." And notice who is the love leader. It doesn't say the woman shall leave her family and put the husband first. No, indeed. It says the man shall leave his family and put his wife first. Now, maybe you never thought of it just that way before, but the husband is the love leader. And you men say to yourself, if you're not married and you're going to get married, you say, I will be the love leader. If you're married, you say, I am the love leader. He is to love his wife as himself. And of course, that's right out of the sayings of Jesus. That's right out of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says to love our neighbors as ourselves. And believe me, a man's wife is his closest neighbor. Actually, I had meant to finish this series on love and its selective memory last Sunday. But my wife, Sydney, and I were discussing the series one day, and we were talking about the various kinds of love the Bible talks about. Remember, we've talked about three kinds of love. First, there's phileo love. That's the kind of love you have for a good friend or for a brother or sister. Second, there is eros love, and from eros we get the English words erotic and eroticism. And that's basically a sexual kind of love, the kind of love that a wife and husband have for each other in their sex relationship. But the third kind of love is agape love. Agape love is love that is uncaused, unmerited. It is love that has no conditions on it. It is love that is given freely, even when one does not deserve it. You see, it's the kind of love that God gave us when he sent Jesus to die in our place. As the Bible puts it, while we were yet sinners, while we were yet undeserving, while we were yet alienated and separated from God, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's agape love. And as Sydney and I talked about these sermons, she said to me, "You know, for a marriage to really work, it has to have all three kinds of love." And I hadn't really thought of that. And I said, "Yes, that's true." And she said, "You've got to preach my sermon." She didn't write it for me, unfortunately. But it's true. If a marriage doesn't have all three kinds of love, it doesn't work very well. For example, a marriage must have phileo love. A husband and wife must be good friends. They must enjoy being together, sharing things together, talking together. Last week I had a funeral for one of the men of our church. And when I was talking to his wife about the funeral, she said to me, "You know, Andy, he was my very best friend." And what a high compliment that was. What a world it said about their relationship to each other. For not only were they married, they were best friends. Is that true in your marriage? Are you best friends with your spouse? Now that all of the kids are off to school, Sydney and I tend to eat out frequently. And we've observed in restaurants that often a couple will sit together at a table looking around, obviously bored to death, waiting for their food to come, and they have nothing to say to one another. And I wonder about that. I wonder why they have nothing to say to each other. Aren't they good friends who want to share things with each other? There was a time in my life when I realized I needed to share more of my life with Sydney. I needed to make myself more vulnerable, to let her share my fears and anxieties, to let her in on my hopes and dreams, to tell her about the things that I was doing so that it would be a ministry together that we shared. And I began to take one of my calling cards, and on the back of it during the day I would write down things I wanted to remember to share. You see, she was my best friend, and I wanted her to know all about me. Now, you're doing that kind of thing with the person you love the most. Are you working at your friendship? Are you doing things to build your phileo love for one another? You see, with your best friend, when there's an argument, you don't have to win. When there's a disagreement, you don't have to have the last word. After all, you're best friends. Back in 1985, in the marathon in Madrid, 4,000 runners began the race. And as it came down to the end, two men, 36 years old each, were in the lead and were going to win. They were very best friends. Suddenly, one of them had his legs begin to cramp, and he fell to the ground. His friend stopped, helped him up, and together they crossed the finish line. You see, friends don't need to win. Friends don't need to be supreme. Friends want to finish together. But not only does a marriage need phileo love, it also needs eros love. It needs sex. Because sex within the marriage relationship can be a wonderful thing. And when the Bible says that a man shall leave his father and mother, it goes on to add that he shall be joined to his wife. And that means a sexual union. You see, not only should a husband and wife be best friends, they should also be best lovers sexually. Do you realize that St. Paul gives us a lot of very specific instructions about the sexual relationship within a marriage? He writes, "Each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband." And then he goes on to add, "Do not refuse one another, lest Satan tempt you through lack of self-control." Now, there's a great deal of lack of self-control in America today. And there are a lot of reasons for that. Immorality is depicted on the screen frequently. It's made to appear wonderful and incredible and tempting, and tacitly it is approved. We live in an era when moral standards have declined in what St. Paul calls the temptation to immorality runs rampant and unchecked. I mean, it's incredible to me the kinds of things that we not only see in movies, but now are piped into our homes. Frequently, something has gone wrong in the marriage bed today. And often, the sexual relationship in a family is inadequate or unfulfilling or unsatisfying. And as a result, one or the other of the marriage partners, or both, begin to seek fulfillment elsewhere, and frequently the death of a marriage is inevitable. But this brings me to the third kind of love in a relationship, and it is agape love. You see, I'm convinced of this. This breakdown in the eros relationship, the breakdown in the phileo relationship, is not a cause of breakup of marriage, but it's a consequence of a real breakdown in the agape love relationship between two people. Phileo love doesn't break down. It's a result. Eros love doesn't break down. It's a consequence. The real breakdown is in agape love. Because when that breaks down, the foundation of the other two collapses. I want to be very clear on this. I think God has been showing me something in our scriptures for today, and I want to share it with you. Sex isn't the breakdown in marriage. Friendship isn't the breakdown in marriage. They are results and consequences. The real culprit is a breakdown in agape love. And you know who the Bible puts the primary responsibility for agape love on? The love leader, the husband. First of all, agape love affects the one who loves. If you love with agape love, it's going to impact you. I read a story about a young boy who was sent down the street by his mother with some flowers to a shut-in. The boy had a wonderful visit. And when he came back, his mother said to him, "Smell your hands." And he smelled, and there was still the fragrance of the flowers lingering on his hands. And his wise mother said to him, "Kindness always leaves a sweet fragrance." Is your relationship to your spouse such that your hands have a sweet fragrance? In the second place, agape love initiates the law of influence. I read somewhere recently that we're influenced by everything, that molecules of air breathed by Caesar have been breathed by you and me. That the molecules of that air have gone around the world, and today you and I have breathed the same air that Caesar breathed. A physicist recently said that our world is so interconnected that if you wiggle your little finger, you tickle every atom in the universe. And someone has said that may be an exaggeration, but that we do live in a world where our lives touch other lives, and that influence, like the ripples in a lake, can go on forever. You see, when I bring agape love into my marriage relationship, the law of influence begins to operate. How I act, what I say, what I do out of agape love is creating an influence for love in the lives of others. If you want your husband or your wife to be more loving and responsive, begin to influence that person. Initiate the law of influence. Make the law of influence work for you. And love that person with agape love. And you can change the whole atmosphere of your home. Yesterday at Presbytery meeting, we were receiving three young men to be ordained into the gospel ministry of the EPC. And one of them from Canada, who's going as a missionary, told us that when he was a young boy, his father died. And his mother went into a depression and basically took to her bed. And he remembers her for many years basically being in the bed. But one day she came home and she said, "I've become a Christian." And he said the atmosphere in his home subtly began to change. And in a few months he realized that something had really happened to his mother. She was out of bed. She was working. She was happy. And the influence of that began to impact their home. And he too became a Christian. Agape love can do that when you initiate the law of influence. In the third place, agape love is a good forgetter. That's the power of love that has a selective memory. It knows what to remember and what to forget. two little boys were playing together and began to fight, as little boys playing together often do, and one shouted at the other, "I'll never speak to you again." But in a couple of hours, they were back playing together once more, and the mother said to one little boy, said, "I thought you were never going to speak again." "Oh, no," he said. "Me and Johnny are good forgetters." And that's the way it is with agape love. It has a selective memory. It's a good forgetter. Is that true in your life? Are you a good forgetter? In the fourth place, over in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the so-called love chapter, we're told that love bears all things and endures all things. I'm told that the Chinese language has a word to describe the highest kind of love, what we would call agape love. And it's comprised of two Chinese characters that are imposed on one of them. One is the regular word for love, and the other is the character for pain. So that, in effect, the word becomes pain love. And a Chinese mother can be said to pain love her child. Well, that's the kind of love every marriage needs. It needs agape love, which is pain love sometimes. Love that's willing to bear all things, endure all things. Because you're not loving because you get rewarded for it, but you're loving because you love, and it's pain love sometimes. You have that kind of love for your family, for your spouse, for your children, for other loved ones. And then fifthly, I would like to remind us that agape love is not an option for a Christian. It's not an option. It's a command. Do you realize that Jesus said, "This I command you, that you agape one another." And that's a command. As we watch television, movies, and read modern novels, we're told that love is a feeling. If you feel good, do it. But agape love, biblical love, is not a feeling, it's a command. You see, sometimes I don't feel like loving. Sometimes I don't feel like being forgiving or forgetting. Sometimes I don't feel like being patient and understanding. After all, I'm bringing my own needs into a relationship. I need somebody to minister to me for a change. God gives us a command. That means that love is something we must continue to work at and to strive for. Love isn't a feeling. It isn't an option. It's a command. As someone has said, for example, the best thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother. I'm going to say to your fathers, that's a command. Command, love one another. Rollo May, the great counselor, once said, listen carefully, "Will follows from caring. Will follows from caring." That means if you care, you have the will to do. If you love, you have the will to do something. If you're motivated by agape love, you will do whatever's required. For example, if one of your children were critically ill and needed expensive medical care to survive, how much would you be willing to spend? Would you be willing to empty your bank account? Your child's dying, would you be willing to sell your home? Would you be willing to get rid of your cars? Would you be willing to take a second job? Just how far would you go? Wouldn't you do whatever it takes? Where there's love, you have the will to do something about it. Where there's caring, the will to do follows. And that's what it means. Will follows from caring. And if you've got agape love, then you will have the will to follow. Let me say this to you. If you don't have phileo love in your marriage, if your spouse is not your best friend, then it is likely the problem is you don't have any agape love. And if there's a breakdown in your sexual relationship, the real cause may be because you do not have agape love in your marriage. Because when you don't have agape love, the consequences spill over into phileo and eros. For you men who have a problem with sex and think your wife isn't loving enough and it doesn't satisfy you, doesn't meet your demands, let me suggest it may not be your wife's fault. It may be that the real problem is that you're not the love leader. It may be the real problem is the lack of adequate agape love in you. Because in my experiences, I've seen men become the love leaders in their homes. Phileo and Eros begin to take care of themselves. Dr. J. Kenyon Rayner, M.D., in his book, First Do No Harm, The Making of a Neurosurgeon, tells us of an incident when he was a senior medical student. He was working in an emergency room when an unconscious 12-year-old boy was wheeled in with a stab wound to the heart. The cardiac monitor showed a straight line. The boy's skin was cold and his pupils didn't react to light, indicating that the boy's brain was not functioning. Rayner looked to the nurse and said, "He's dead," and told her to turn off the monitor. Just then a doctor came in, felt the wound on the dead boy, grabbed a needle, stuck it into the boy's heart. And immediately the boy's heart began to beat. A few hours later, and an operation later, the boy was moving his legs and beginning to talk. Rayner comments, "I left the room and wandered down the hall discouraged. I had just pronounced a boy dead who had been saved a second later while I watched." It may very well be that some dying or dead relationship really only needs a shot in the heart of agape love. You try that and see how it works for you. Let us pray.